Tuesday, June 21st. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, before I get to the main story I want to cover today, I do want to do a follow-up to a story we did a couple of weeks ago that dealt with the State Farm Insurance Company supporting the distribution of LGBTQ books for children in public libraries and in public schools and community centers. State Farm originally denied claims that it was encouraging agents to donate these books to schools and libraries, but after they were confronted with these original emails, they acknowledged this was going on. State Farm has now said they have ended support for the project.
I think we need to couple with that the fact that Netflix has made also an abrupt turnaround from its commitment to progressive woke public policies and has made a very clear statement of the direction they're going, because we actually covered that company as well on that program. My concern is what they experienced was a financial loss and a cost that they did not want to embrace in order to further the sexual revolution and the grooming of children. What I didn't hear is a heartfelt declaration we were wrong. In my opinion, those who were responsible for it have not had a heartfelt turn from their direction, and those who put those policies in place are still in place themselves. And so I would fully expect that it will come back in a more subtle manner. But in the meantime, I am grateful the message was given and heard that they needed to get back to doing what their business calls them to do. And the value system they had adopted is destructive and has been rejected. And hopefully they will see why it's destructive, and they will personally reject it as well, not just by policy, but by conviction.
Harry, let me get on to the main subject I want to cover today. It's an article out of the Daily Caller that reported a couple of weeks ago that liberal prosecutors in red states, that is, states that are primarily conservative, they have pledged not to enforce abortion bans that could be enacted in the likely event that the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade.
So this story is really interesting. The attorneys general in Virginia, there's some question about North Carolina, where you reside. There's a number of other red states that when the leak came out, as you said, that the Supreme Court is going to overturn Roe v. Wade because of a lack of constitutional authority in the Roe v. Wade decision, and it will go back to the states. They are in states that most of which have already put restrictions. They probably even now are not enforcing the restrictions that are in place. And they have also made abundantly clear that if their states enact further restrictions, they will not prosecute. Tom, there is an underlying story here. Why would an attorney general who has been elected to enforce the laws of the state arrogate with arrogance a position that I am above the law and I will negate law? Now, this isn't judicial activism whereby a judge is trying to make a law through a ruling. This is legislative nullification by not prosecuting a law that was passed by the appointed constitutional officers of the legislature of that state. And so they have now put themselves above the law, determining what is law and what is not law. There are multiple times in history where we have had lawyers who have said, I don't agree with this law, but I've been elected to enforce it, so I'm going to enforce it. But they have decided, I don't agree with this law, so I am not going to enforce it. In other words, I'm going to nullify this legislation by not enforcing it. It was interesting what one of the lawyers said. He said, I'm not going to enforce this, but I'll tell you what I am going to enforce.
Harry, you're referring to Orleans Parish District Attorney Jason Rogers Williams of Louisiana, who pledged to focus on shootings, rapes, carjackings, rather than abortion.
Why are you going to focus on shootings and rape? Well, I'm sure he would say to me, because they're taking people's lives. What do you think abortion's doing? That's the whole purpose of the law. What you're saying to us is you're only going to prosecute laws that take lives that you think are worthy of living. You have now agreed that the life in the womb is not worthy of living, therefore you're not going to prosecute that which takes the life of someone that you don't think is worthy to live. You are not only in violation of your oath, you're hypocritical because you're claiming to focus on laws that go against the sanctity of life when in reality you have said, I'm not going to go against a law. I am going to nullify a law that is there to uphold the sanctity of life in the most protected place, which ought to be the womb. So ultimately, you're demonstrating a hypocritical position on the sanctity of life in that you will only deal with those that take lives that you think should not be taken, but you're fine for people taking the life of a child that's inconvenient, unwanted, or imperfect. Tom, this comes all the way from the 1960s. In the 1960s, the Marxist movement went into a number of areas. One of them we've been dealing with recently, it's called critical race theory. There was also critical theory in general, and there was critical law theory. And that is exactly what the 60s radicals did. They went to the colleges to teach critical theory and critical race theory, and then they went to the law schools to teach critical law theory. Critical law theory sees law as a tool of oppression. It has a Marxist view of the law. It is an oppressive tool of the majority. They see a demographic or a group or a certain law that has a lot of prosecutions to it. Instead of asking why is that present in society, they assume that's the bourgeois of society that's using the law to oppress a people. Can people use laws and pass unjust laws to oppress people? Absolutely. That's what Jim Crow laws were. But what they view is law in general is not built on the sanctity of ethical absolutes. Law in general is either a racial or social or demographic instrument of oppression. They see politics, prosecutors, and police as instruments of oppression that must be nullified or negated. So some of them go into the office of prosecutor in order not to prosecute. Tom, we just saw an amazing reality of that in San Francisco. I would argue that San Francisco is the most intentionally leftist community in our nation, and they purposefully elected a prosecutor. This prosecutor, I think the way you pronounce his last name is Baldini, but this prosecutor was voted out overwhelmingly because he said he's not going to prosecute laws. That's his embrace. He embraces critical law theory. Here is the most intentionally leftist that elected him not to prosecute, but they found out we can't live with that. It's not that San Francisco has had a great awakening. It's that San Francisco looked at the streets that are littered with the homeless, and homeless and crime go hand in hand. They looked at the rising crime rate in general and the violent crime rate in particular, and they said, we are going to remove him simply because we can't function under a critical law theory prosecutor. Tom, what you see in San Francisco of this prosecutor being turned out of office is the same philosophy that's at work in the attorneys generals that you have highlighted who have said, we believe that a law that protects the life of the preborn is a law of oppression, so we are not going to enforce it. We are greater than the law. From a Christian world in life view, law is there to protect people. The sanctity of their life, the sanctity of their property, the sanctity of their home. Law is there to protect it. Law should be as few as possible, but to be few as possible, they must be enforced with justice. God's law is clear. You break God's law, it'll eventually break you. But here's a glorious thing. We who are lawbreakers because of our sin nature can be saved from the consequences of our lawbreaking when we come to Christ, who did what? Who came in obedience, paid the penalty for our breaking of the law at the cross, and provided for us his perfect obedience of the law that wraps us up and presents us for all eternity.
If you would like to access a number of resources that will challenge and encourage your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, may we commend to you the Briarwood app. It is available through your favorite app store. Simply type in Briarwood PCA. You'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will enhance your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. The app is yours at no cost. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.